guys for the privilege to be with you today.
Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. How about it? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, God's got something good for you. And you can be seated. Amen. What a great joy it is to be here today at Apostolic Faith to come and worship with you. You may be seated. That's an unused word in the Pentecostal religion sometimes, as you may be seated. Amen. It is a joy to be here with Pastor James Schumacher, First Lady Sister Schumacher. And whatever you are doing to this couple, keep doing it. They look incredible. They look incredible. Man. I'm hoping I can look that good another 10, 12 years from now, or another 20 or 25 years would be really good. It's a great joy to be with them. We were here a few years ago at a Holy Ghost rally, and I guess I'm here by accident today, or coincident, or something like that. We were due to be preached for the superintendent, and he canceled me. And I said, well, that's no problem, Brother Booker. He said, no, no, we're going to get you somebody. I said, well, give me somebody that's closer to the South as possible. I realize you are not in the South, all right, but you're in South Wisconsin, okay? I know you're hearing my voice saying, that guy's from the South. I know he is, and I am from the South. But it's an honor to be here with Brother and Sister Schumacher. Thanks for the privilege to be here. Amen. We also give honor to your assistant, Pastor Mike Portman and Sister Portman. It's an honor to be with you also. And, man, these children were beautiful this morning. Wow, wow. You know, you got to confess that one of these days you're going to get old, all right? And somebody needs to come along and take your place, and you do it without getting a bad attitude, you know? Amen. I everywhere I go, I think, you know, I'm really ministering to children all over the world and thinking that one of these days, one of these little kids is going to take my job. And I want to be a cheerleader on the side instead of a guy with a bad attitude about what happened and didn't get to serve. We've lived a very blessed life. It is a privilege to be here with you today. It's an honor to have my wife traveling with me also. She and I are celebrating our 41st anniversary next month. And so we married real, real early, I can tell you that. I was so young, my parents had to sign for me to get married. Of course, in Mississippi, you have to be 21 to get married. A guy does, so I was only 20. But it's a great honor to have her traveling with me. Thanks for allowing us to be here. We are over the children's ministry for the UPCI, and I thought if the video didn't work, I could step in and be the video today. This is our eighth year of serving as the General Director of Children's Ministries. 7 years ago, we started national Holy Ghost rallies that we came to your church 4 years ago, I guess, and 30-something got the Holy Ghost. I would like to update you on those figures. In the last 7 years, over 7,000 have received the Holy Ghost because of Save Our Children. I need to make a copy of all the boys and girls that's got the Holy Ghost because we sent a group to Thailand this year, and 52 kids from Thailand got the Holy Ghost. And if you know anything about how they write in Thailand, there's all these kind of lines going all around here. And I couldn't understand one of their names, but they wrote it in Thailand. Also this year, we were privileged to send a team to the Philippines, and 300 received the Holy Ghost in the Philippines. So I just want to tell you, I know that Save Our Children, 50% of it stays in the local district. And I'm only accountable for the other 50% that comes to headquarters to make sure that we are not just saying, okay, send us more money. I've challenged our team. Guys, it's not about us raising more money to make us look better. I said it's all about us raising more money so we could put more money back into children. And that's what we're doing. our number one form of giving back to children is junior Bible quizzing. And I want to tell you that we've had some incredible times with junior Bible quizzers. I'm honored just to know that you've got so many trophies for Bible quizzing. I just want you to know that's the greatest investment you could ever have. If you've ever been a parent for a long time, sometimes your grown children can embarrass you and hurt you. And you've got to put everything you can inside of them while they're young. Amen. And the more you put inside of them now, the less worry you'll have later. It's not guaranteed, but it's the best investment on anything. It's better than the stock market. It's better than anything else. Hallelujah. And the writer of 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. So thank you for giving to save our children. This church is a beautiful facility. Good gracious, y'all ought to be number one and save our children. I don't know why, but I'm just picking on you this morning because I got a chance, and Brother Schumacher may pull my coattail in a minute, but you guys love children, are doing some great things. Our number one giving to, number one support that we do nationally is junior Bible quizzing. The second thing we put our money into is North American Save Our Children Holy Ghost Rallies. There is no ministry in the UPCI that's giving back to the districts and going to districts and doing children's crusades around the country. After 5 years, I said, okay, guys, we completed every state in the United States and every province in Canada. What do you want to do next? They said, we can't stop. We've got to keep going. So this is our second time around. This is our 7th year. If we serve a couple more terms as the general director of children's ministry, we would have been in every state 2 times and every province in Canada 2 times just doing crusades. And so I guess in a large district, you may not see how important it is. We were privileged just about 3 weeks ago to go to Idaho. It's a little small district, has 14 churches in it. They're 100 miles away from each other. Their fellowship is far and few between. And we had 6 children get the Holy Ghost in those 2 services there. So that's great. Amen. Our third thing is our global SOC Holy Ghost Crusades. Next year, we already have 4 crusades planned in South Africa. We have 1 in the Philippines and 1 in Haiti. And our number 4 thing that we'd like to talk about is that we have raised enough money to build an orphanage in Haiti. And if you know anything about the country of Haiti, it is very poor. They have hardly any money. And after the last earthquake, it is estimated there is 1 million orphans walking around Haiti that don't even know where their parents are. And so we already have 1 orphanage. Somebody donated some money to build a place. It was called On the Hill. Actually, it's on a hill overlooking the ocean. We can see the ocean from the new property that we're going to break ground. Hopefully June the 1st, we'll break ground and start building the brand new orphanage for Haiti. That's what your Save Our Children dollars are doing. And then, of course, number 5 would be we have started back again our national train-up programs. There's probably not one really close to you this year. We had one in Biloxi in February. We're going to Sacramento in August. Next year, we'll go to Mesquite in February, and we'll go to a place called York, Pennsylvania in August 2020. That may be a little closer for you. And if not, you can go at least to Lancaster and see Jesus there. I heard they're showing Jesus, so with sights and sounds anyhow. But that's it. And then last but not least, our ministry and our team has decided we have the compassion, we just don't have the money. And we have launched a brand new program called UPCI Children's Disaster Relief. And so when there's a disaster, we want to be there for the children. And when the children have lost everything, they just need some help. So that's the ministries of UPCI. I better hush and preach because you guys want to get out of here at 11:30 so you can go get something to eat, all right? Let's all stand. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 13, and I'll share a little bit with you, and then I'll be seated. But thank you so much for giving. Thank you for being a part of Save Our Children. I'm so glad to be a part of it. Amen. God has been good to us, and he has been merciful, and we've seen some great things happen. I could just talk for hours on the miracles that I've seen of what God has done in our Save Our Children Holy Ghost rallies, but we don't have enough time. Luke chapter 13, let me share a little thought with you that this was a devotion, And as a matter of fact, this year when we started our committee meeting, I started this was with this devotion. And so if I could give you a devotion on Sunday morning and get you ready to go. Luke chapter 13, verse number 11. If you have it, say, I have it. All right, great. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Everybody say 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her. Now, I want you to just pause for a minute. Most people came to Jesus. Jesus saw this woman, and he called her. I have a special message for you, lady. And so this is probably one of the very few times in the Bible that Jesus called her to him. And said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Somebody say hallelujah. This morning I want to talk to you on a subject from this very thought, from my devotion. My devotion today is the greatest gift is a lift. The greatest gift was a lift. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody comes to church needing a lift sometimes, don't they? Amen. Amen. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? I'm going to bring you the mic since I'm a lot younger than you are.
My God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the presence of your spirit in this place, God. We ask, God, that it would not only touch our minds, but fall down to our hearts. Change us through your word. Strengthen us. Refresh us. And God will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Let's give God some praise. How about it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Brian Chappell told the story, a true story that happened in his hometown. He said two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by a river. One ran after the other up a large mound of sand. Unfortunately, the mound was not solid, and their weight caused them to sink in quickly. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the younger brother unconscious with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. When they cleared the sand to his waist, he awoke. And the searchers asked the question to the young man, where is your brother? The child replied, I am standing on his shoulders. With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother had lifted the younger brother to safety. The tangible and sacrificial love of an older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. He made the notion that everybody needs a lift sometime. In the scripture that I've read for you today, it is a story of a woman with a spirit of infirmity. Now, the word infirmity means a physical or mental weakness associated with old age that comes to men and women. And can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. It means the condition of being infirm are often associated with old age. It means a weakness or a frailty, the infirmity brought on by disease. So I thought maybe if I look for a different version, they would help me out a little bit. And under the ESV version, the spirit of infirmity means a disabling spirit. The NASB means a sickness caused by a spirit. And the NIV, the nearly inspired version, means crippled by a spirit. So infirmity means that she had a sickness or disease by the medical terms, if you please. But if according to what we see in this scripture, Jesus did not see a medical term because something else other than a physical handicap had taken place. This sermon kind of came together because I went to the eye doctor just a few months ago, and he told me, he said, preacher, you've got some cataracts that's coming. And I'm thinking, okay, thanks for giving me the advance notice. He said, they're not bothering you yet, but they're going to come your way. I said, well, doc, what did I do wrong? And the doctor says, well, you just live past 50. And those are that. So it's nothing I've done. I mean, it's not hereditary. I mean, I don't have some kind of affliction that's going on. Oh, no, no, no. This happens to everybody. Sometimes it's later than other things, but it's happening. But this woman had a spirit of infirmity. I have tried to examine that. I did a little research, but the spirit of infirmity is one of the unclean spirits in the Bible. To make a long story short today, I'd like to tell you that there is a real devil that's out there. And I would like to tell you that the devil specializes in latching unclean spirits onto your life. Now, whether you like it or not, I just want you to don't be deceived, because Satan is really real. Don't play around with the devil. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 1 through 2, God was sending a message to Zechariah to Jerusalem. You could be used greatly, but there are three things that are hindering you from being used by God. And these were simply this. There was idols in their midst. There was false prophets in their midst. And there was unclean spirits in their midst. But Zechariah prophesied that I'm going to send a flood, and I'm going to clean up Jerusalem, and I'm going to clean up the area. Sometimes people think people that have diseases have them because of some kind of sin that they have committed. In John chapter 9, the disciples asked Jesus Christ of a man who was born blind. They asked the question, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus told them, said, neither did sin, but that I might show the glory of God through this person. I just wonder if there's anybody in the house today that wouldn't mind saying, okay, God, I'd like for my life to be used for your glory. Anybody would like that to happen? I'd like to raise my hand because I want his glory to flow through my life. Hallelujah. And so these kind of things take place. Even in Luke chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, there was a difference between sickness and unclean spirits. Because the Bible said that many came to be healed of their disease, while others that were with them were vexed with unclean spirits. Sickness, unclean spirits that were there. But notice what happened in verse number 18, and they were healed. There's never been anything that's ever been made that's too tough for Jesus Christ to do. Amen. After looking at this, I'd like to tell you that I think one of the greatest ways to catch an unclean spirit is to be disobedient. When you don't obey the word of God, you are opening yourself for an unclean spirit. Amen. Amen. Also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, Paul is describing the Last Supper and taking of the bread and the drink. And he tells them that as often as you do this in remembrance of me. But he also told them that if you don't take it seriously, and if you don't take it with all of your heart, it could affect you because an unclean spirit could latch onto you even though you're doing the right thing. You just do it in the wrong spirit. Paul went a little later and told him, he said, there are some of you that are always sick, and some of you now sleep. Or in Wisconsin terms, some of you are dead because you did not believe that the taking of communion was remembering what he did for us, our body and his blood that was shed for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, Paul had to deal with people who had an unclean spirit and they would not repent. And so the Bible says that he turned them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. In other words, he was going to say simply, just because you will not obey the word of God, I'm going to take away the protection of God away from you. I don't know how you feel. I like to have God's protection in my life. Wherever I go, I want him to be with me. One more scripture, and we'll go back to our foundation scripture in James chapter 5, verse 13 through 14. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? What does the Bible tell us to do? Let them pray. Amen. Is any among you married? What should we let them do? Let them sing. Well, the person beside me is out of key. Well, it didn't say they had to be in key. Now, for musicians, everybody's got to be in key. But it says that if they're married, let them sing. Amen. But after that, it says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. And the Bible said they're going to pray over them in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. I want to pause for station identification, all right? Never get so proud that you can live without your preacher in your life. You're going to need a pastor in your life. You're going to need a minister in your life. Because if you think you can do without them, you're in deep, deep trouble. Because James has a two-part blessing. Not just calling for the elders to pray over you in the name of the Lord, but the Bible also tells us, and if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Get this old sweat off my head. It is okay for your pastor. You can go ahead, put your hand on my head. That's all right. It is okay for this to happen. You may be sick, and that may be what you're coming for. I need a miracle in my body. But also, ladies and gentlemen, you get a double portion, because if you have committed some sins, it will be forgiven you. Come on, I want you to clap your hands to the Lord here today. In this scripture that I've read for you, this woman had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Everybody say 18 years. Look at your neighbor and tell them 18 years is a long time. You know, I guess since I'm past 60, I notice that the older people get, the more they start tilting a little bit forward. I'm not throwing any stones, because I'm already there, all right? I'm already getting letters from Social Security. Can you believe that? Man, I'm fooling somebody, aren't I? But I've noticed they've started tilting over. And this woman that had the infirmity for 18 years probably had gone to a doctor to check them out. Doctor, what's wrong? And the only thing the doctor could say is that your spine is twisting. That was probably the only thing they could know, because as days went by, the lady kept coming down further and further and further. I can't do this for long, but I'm going to try to do it for a little while, all right? She was bent, and she could not pick herself. She couldn't lift herself up. And that's how she came to church every day for the last 18 years. She showed up like this. She could never see the preacher when she stood. The only time she could see the preacher was when she sat down, and then she was in good shape then. Now, I try to think of some of the benefits of being bent over like this. It ain't many, but I'll share some of them with you. Well, first of all, you know, you can see your grandbabies when they're little and they're playing on the ground. When they grow up this high, you're having a really bad problem. I can't see them there. Amen. Maybe, you know, it was easy to pick things off the floor. Maybe it's easy to come to the table, and so all you got to do is just go straight like this. You know, it's not long. You never have to worry about getting it all over your shirt or your tie. It's just right here really close. And the only other thing I could think about that was really good was that when she went to bed at night, she was sleeping just like this. And she never had acid reflux like this. Never had it. But, folks, that's the only benefits I can think that she had out of it. But I'd like to tell you that even though she had a spirit of infirmity, she kept coming to the temple. She kept showing up at the church. She kept showing up at the house of God. Oh, yeah, we have problems sometimes. Some of our kids are sick, and we gotta stay home and blow their nose, you know. We miss church. Surely pastor's not going to say anything, because he knows our kids are sick. But if your kid's in baseball, you'll still send them out there and let them play. They got a runny nose, but you're still sending them out. I'm just visiting today. Is this okay? But anyhow, to make a long story short, 18 years she showed up like this, and she kept showing up. She didn't look like the perfect person. She looked like she was, yes, afflicted. But she kept showing up. And through the course of these 18 years, she kept coming. She showed up when nobody else showed up. She didn't come because her life was perfect. She didn't come because everything was good. She just came because she knew she needed to be there. Okay, here comes my devotion for you, all right? Something happened on this day that she showed up at the synagogue. And Jesus was there. Would you like to know the three things that she did on this particular day that she hadn't been doing the rest of the time? Well, thanks for asking. This is what I share with my committee. Can you imagine being bent over like this and coming to church every Sunday? Can you imagine how many little kids look at that lady and says, "Mama, what's wrong with that woman?" Come on, your kids are real, okay? Can I just go pull her back up and straighten her up? How many folks have said, "What's wrong with that woman? She keeps showing up. She's here before everybody else. She just looks horrible. She's not really a picture of what a Christian ought to look like." Can you imagine how many voices she had heard there and how many voices she had heard there, how many voices she had saw? To be honest with you, people, if you do have an affliction in your life, you can get an attitude pretty early. And so I'd like to just let you know, I personally believe that even though she went to the sanctuary, she still carried something unclean with her. Can I just stop for a moment? And I may be in trouble. Pastor, just help me out, all right? I believe Pentecostal people, apostolic people can come to church and still have an unclean spirit attached to them. Oh, boy. They can clap their hands. They can raise their hands. They can speak in tongues, but still have something hanging on them. They don't even know what it is. But this woman found the secret on this particular day. And I'm going to share it with you. I think this woman had built a bunch of bitterness against this side, every side. But on this particular Sabbath day, she purposed in her heart, "I'm not going to church again and look around and be angry with everybody else. I am fully repenting this morning." So on behalf of what we're doing here on Sunday morning, let's all stand. Let's all stand. We're not done yet, but I just wanted you to stand. Do you know that I don't care how old you get, how long you've been in church, everybody needs to repent every now and then. I wish I could say after 41 years of being married, I've never had to repent to this lady. But I've had to repent to her a lot of times. Amen. You know what? Every once in a while, a good old-fashioned repentance does something to your own life. I just want you to know here in Racine, Wisconsin, something could happen if this whole church could repent. I'm not asking you to run the aisles. I'm not asking you to climb Mount Everest. I'm not asking you to do whatever you want to do today. But repentance does something to God. It does something to you. And it does something to God. So now I want you to lift your hands, and I'd like for us to go through a repentant mode right now. God, I'm sorry for everything I've ever done wrong, Lord. I'm sorry for anybody I've ever mistreated, oh God. I'm sorry for anybody I've ever talked about. Come on, that's it. Raise your hands, open up your mouth, and begin to speak some things that you may have done. I'm sorry if I mistreated my husband. I'm sorry if I mistreated my wife. I'm sorry if I mistreated my neighbor. I want to repent. Come on, that's it. Open up your mouth. Just begin to pray. I believe the woman who had the infirmity got to the place where she said, "I'm not going to church with another grudge. I'm not going to church with another attitude. I'm going to church with full repentance in my life." Come on, clap your hands to the Lord this morning. You could be seated. I was counseling with a couple that was having problems with another couple in our church. And I was talking to them about why they were so angry with so-and-so. And one of them actually came up with this word. You don't know what they did to me 15 years ago. And I thought, 15 years ago? You've been dragging that around with you for 15 years? And you hadn't forgiven them? I said, you're the one that's been in bondage. You're the one that's been in the place that's there. You know how to live a long, successful marriage? Probably Brother Schumacher could say amen to this. There's only two things. Number one, keep your mouth shut. And number two, keep your pocketbook open. That's how you have a long one. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know exactly what happened, but I personally believe she made everything right with God. Because I've seen it in services after service. He may go down a row and miss four or five folks, but then he'll hit somebody over here. God, why do you do that? Because there's one thing that God never overlooks. He has never overlooked a person that knows how to repent. If you will repent, he'll find you today. He'll overlook everybody in this building, but he'll find you. Because repentance wakes up Jesus. It wakes up the authority of God. And that's what happened on this particular place. Because when she showed up, she was still bent. When she showed up, she still had the physical problems. When she showed up that day, she had fully asked God to repent, forgive her of everything that had ever happened. That's why Jesus saw her. That's why he called for her. Ladies and gentlemen, Acts 2:38 still works. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So the first thing she did was she fully repented. And the second thing that she did was she made up in her mind, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm going to church and I'm going to worship. Could I pause for station identification again? Jesus never overlooks a worshiper. Jesus never overlooks those folks that says, I'm not worried about what my neighbors say. I want to clap my hands. I want to raise my... Ooh. I just feel like breaking loose. He just can't stay away from you. He's going to follow you around. If you know how to repent, he'll follow you around. And if you know how to worship, he'll follow you around. How many people in this auditorium, and this is my first time to preach here, let me go ahead and tell you, how many people walked in this place and said, well, I'm going to sit through this service. I'm sorry, I didn't come here to sit through the service. Not because you're here. I don't know who you are. Not because of your background. I don't know anything about you. But all I know is the third thing the woman knew was he was going to be there. Jesus was going to be there. So I'm not worried what other folks think. We were in one of them really big services where the mayor and the board of aldermen had come to our church on a special day. I looked all across the front, and here's all these dignitary guys that are there. And I looked on the other side of the church, and I saw that little guy. I said, oh, no, surely not. He's the one that when the choir starts singing, he'll take off running around the church. So I was really praying that day, God, keep him in his seat. I may have been carnal. Please excuse me. And you know what? He never got out of his seat. But when the choir hit that second song, woo, his six-year-old boy looked to the left and looked to the right, and wasn't nobody running, and he took off running around that church. 6 years old. His dad was worshiping, and when his boy came around the first round of the church, he saw his boy and he took off after his boy.
The mayor's there watching everything that's going on. Board of Aldermen ain't never seen nothing like this before. Sons running around the church. Fathers chasing him around the church.
At the end of the service, the mayor said, "Brother Cannon, this was an incredible service, man. You guys really know how to get with the program." He said, "I just got one small question." I said, "What's that, mayor?" He said, "What did that little boy do that his dad had to chase him down during church and put him back in his seat?" And I let him know. I said, "Mayor, this is a place where we teach our adults to worship God and our children can join in too." Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. So those are the three things. You got to know how to repent. You got to don't worry about what anybody else thinks. And then number three, you got to know who's here. How many believes Jesus is here today? Do I get his best attention by just showing up? Oh, he's really happy I'm here. Nope. Nope. Nothing happens when you just show up. Oh, I'm going to clap my hand like everybody else is doing. Okay, great, wonderful. He sees beyond where your hands are. He sees down inside of that heart. And that's how he operates. He don't operate what happens on the inside. He operates what's happening on the inside. And you came in this place, you said, "God, I'm sorry for every sin I've ever committed." Already he's focusing it on you while I'm preaching. He knows who you are. He's got you already zeroed in. And that same person who's fully repentant starts opening up their mouth and saying, "Oh, God, I need you to move in my life." He's not going to overlook you this morning. Praise God, praise God. I did a little study on 18 years. There are four or five instances in the Bible of people. Israel was bound for 18 years. The number 18 stands for, it's time to get out of bondage. Notice the story. The woman's been over. Jesus sees her, and he calls for her. And when she and Jesus get close together, Jesus says these words, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And guess what? Nothing happened. But when Jesus laid his hands on her head, guess what happened? Everybody say immediately. That back that was bent stood up straight. Now, first of all, I know you want to say, "Well, that's a miracle." But by all means, it was not a miracle to Jesus. Because he said this woman was not sick by a disease. He went on a little bit further and he said the reason why she has it in this infirmity is because Satan has attacked her. He called her a daughter of Abraham. But he said the reason why she's in the shape she is, Satan crawled on her back one day and she's never been able to get him off. All Jesus said was when he said, "Woman, thou art loosed," he actually just said, in my individual terms, "Satan, get off this woman's back." I told my committee this devotion. They looked at me like I was crazy. "What are you talking about?" I said, "I've never preached this scripture before. I've read it. I've been afraid to preach it. And I just wanted you to know, I think the Lord was telling this woman, you've been bound for 18 years. It's not a sickness. It's not a disease. It's Satan's got a hold to you and held on to you. And I just want to let you know from this day forward, thou art loosed." In the old Sunday school ministry, it was 18 years ago that something very horrible happened in our ministry. I've been there for the last 19 years. And when I started studying for a devotion to share with our guys, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "It's been 18 years since this happened." I said, "Okay, God, there's nobody on this committee that even knows anything about that but me and maybe one other person." And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Well, even though they don't know about it, they still need to repent." And I began to examine my own life. In the last 19 years, nobody that I know of has fully repented in a meeting. And I had the directors from all over North America on their knees praying and repenting and asking God for forgiveness. They repented, and I said, stop and look around you, and if you have any fault against anybody, would you please get it straightened up and corrected right now? And they did it, and then after that, I said, if you feel like worshiping, you go ahead and worship. This is right in the middle of a business meeting, ladies and gentlemen, and the Holy Ghost moved in. Somebody spoke in tongues, and after that, a word of interpretation came forth, and this is what the Lord said, and just, I can't give you all the words, but this is what the Lord says. You've been bowed for 18 years. But from this day forward, thou art loosed. You will see a brand new vision from this time forward. Your ministry will never be the same again. That's how we started off this year. That's why we're seeing supernatural revival and miracles. The Lord told Satan, get off children's ministries back. Oh, come on, let's lift our hands. Let's stand. Come on, musicians. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. I want to challenge you today. If Satan's been after you, it's your day to proclaim, Satan, it's time for you to get off my back. Woo, somebody say hallelujah. I just believe this morning God's ready to release somebody, to loose somebody from whatever he's been holding you back. Come on, I got to be honest with you. Satan will keep you from worshiping God. Satan will keep you from praying. Satan will keep you from giving God glory. But you've got to come to the conclusion, God, I want to be loose this morning. I want the power of God in my life to change my life. Clap your hands today if you want to be loosed. I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. Please, by all means, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying you got the devil, all right? I'm just saying sometimes the devil latches on to us and he won't let us go. But I want to tell you today, he's ready to loose some of you if you're ready for him to be loosed. God, I want to pray more. I want to witness more. I want to worship more. I want to change my world. I don't want any unclean spirits hanging on my life. Because God, today I'm ready for a breakthrough. When you pray through, you can have that breakthrough. Come on, I want you to lift your hands right now. Ministry, I need your help. If there are ministers that are here, I want you to come around and lay your hands upon all of these people that are here today. I just believe by laying on of hands, God's going to do something today in this place. Oh, shalabaya kataya lamaya sataya lamaya. Somebody needs a lift here today. And the greatest gift is a lift. Sing when you get ready, guys. Go ahead, go ahead. It's time for a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough day. It's a breakthrough morning. It's a breakthrough Sunday.